That if that doesn't get you energized, I don't know what will.
This is it, working title. FC, last minute change of studio. So if we sound a little bit different today, if you're a helicopter.
They're looking for Paolo.
They're looking for me. Last minute change to studio. Bear with us. But it's kind of like live sports.
Yeah.
Try to give it the live sports entertainment vibe. Of course. Today, working title FC. If you know what we're about, welcome. Thanks for coming back. We know.
And we appreciate you, man. You know, your time is valuable. You're not being held under your walls.
Duress.
So thank you. Yeah.
And if you're new, we know that a lot of you discovering us through IOL.co.za.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome. We bring you your weekly sporting and many other things fix.
Yes. Yes, many other things. Things that you don't need to know about. Well, things that aren't going to serve you well in any way, shape or form. But hey.
No, I think we like to give people something that if they're sitting around, maybe they're at a bar, they're at a pub, they're at church and somebody starts sprouting off some bullshit opinions about football. We've given you some arguments. So coming up in the show is our five-a-side feature. I don't think we have a full five-a-side each, but we've got enough to make up a game.
Of course.
We got Senzo's non-football story of the week. We got a replay of Goat Farm, our Hall of Fame with Andre Agassi, my guy.
The guy.
And
Mr. Hollywood.
Mr. Hollywood, that's all coming up. This is it. Working title FC. The boys get started now. I want to start off talking about Chris Breezy, though.
Gee whiz. What's the whole fascination in this country than Chris Brown?
You know, so he, out of nowhere, like announces coming to South Africa, people lose their shit to buy tickets.
Bro, his tickets sold out yesterday, apparently.
Like instantly, then they add a second show.
Oh, really?
Now, I know about this because if you listen to the show for a while, you know a young man called Ryan Tinline.
Mm-hmm.
He's headed home in December. And of course, he wants to come and get some Chris Breezy. So he was complaining about the ticketing system.
You're always complaining about the ticketing system.
This is how I know it. He's the only person, Ryan Tinline, who I follow on X. Hawksley, follow him if you want to find out what's swag and what's complaining about.
27 and he's losing his mind for Chris Brown. But what if that's about him?
You got to do it. But I don't get the fascination with Chris Brown. People love him.
Girls love him. I know girls love him, even though he's alleged.
Is it alleged?
Well, he is. Yeah. He hits people of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
He just hits people.
What's the logic on Chris Brown? Because if you are a guy, and a lot of guys will be in this situation, they're taking their girlfriend, partner, significant other to go watch Chris Brown, and you know Chris Brown is like, you know they're only there for Chris Brown. Do you think it's like some blowback that go, okay, because I can't get Chris Brown, one of the probably like the five people in the stadium that won't, that you're going to get all that...
I don't know.
That recess excitement.
No. Because I don't know.
Do not score. If you score out of a Chris Brown concert,
it's
because of Chris Brown.
Yeah, no, exactly. Right. And also you need to come up with a book if you do. And tell us what you're doing right.
Do you think he's going to pull a Buster and not want to go back to America?
No, but is Buster Rhymes still here?
The guy won't go away, man. He's at Home Affairs as we speak. He's at one of the mobile Home
But
Affairs.
Most Def wouldn't leave.
What is it, man? They even jacked Buster's phone.
Yeah,
man.
And he offered like 90 grand for it.
For iPhone 12. I'll take it, bro.
Man. But like, I was just like, oh, do you know what it is? They got to South Africa and they're like, oh, actually, it's like this year. And they're like, oh, there's everything here.
Everything and very liberal laws. Very loose implementation of the laws.
They're like, it's actually cool to be black here.
listen, I appreciate what you're doing today because obviously last minute change to your Senzo does not have a mic stand, but he's holding his microphone like fucking, like Breezy.
You know what I mean?
He's holding it down like that. Listen, so... full disclosure, we are Manchester United fans. And like any good podcast, we have to talk about Manchester United.
Every week.
That's going to get us the views, right? That's going to get us the listens.
This is the box office part of the show.
So we record this after the Europa League match against Porto. And
Villa on Sunday.
Losing 3-0 to Tottenham at home. And not just losing, just not showing up.
It was poor.
At the beginning of this week, because obviously kind of people are talking about Ten Hag's dead man walking, two games to save his job, blah, 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 blah. Too much noise from his bosses. We all know how that goes.
Yeah.
When you get too much support. International break coming up. We've seen this movie.
Yes. They're wielding the axe.
It's being sharpened.
Yeah.
It's being sharpened. The last football club in the entirety of Europe I think maybe only a Turkish club, is you do not want to go in the condition, the low confidence you want to go to of any club.
Porto.
Is the Dragao.
Dragao.
Is the Dragao. Now listen.
To the dragon.
I mean, there is something about Porto. It doesn't matter who the coach is. They got a new coach, first new coach in 8 years, but it's Sergio Conceição's assistant, so nothing changes. Doesn't matter who the players are. Even doesn't matter who the president is. Porto are, we were talking about it earlier, I don't think them and Atletico Madrid are probably the two most South American teams in Europe.
Because they got that bastard in them.
That's the thing. They dogs. Got,
they are
they skullduggery. They dogs.
Any, and your manager probably tells you, this is how these bastards are going to come at you. And there's always that one guy who doesn't listen and goes, no, coach, it will be fine.
Yeah, no.
And who is that? Bruno.
It's not, and somebody who should know better.
Honestly, because he knows the lay of the land.
It's not fine at Porto. Let me tell you something about Porto. Porto is a city. So obviously Lisbon's the main city in Portugal, right?
I mean, it is the capital.
Porto, kind of like always been, over the past 20 years, they've become a European city of culture, one of the top 10 destinations of the world. But the people from Porto are working class dogs.
Oh, so they've got that edge to them.
You know, they got that. It's tough up there. It's up north. It's very working class. And the supporters were, I mean, you heard that stadium. It was febrile.
Well, if I saw by the flares. When the flares start coming out, you know, when there are flares there, you get scared because you're like, oh, okay.
That's why the worst matches when they pop up are Atletico Madrid and Porto, because it's just rolling on the floor, poking in the back. There's no football.
Anything, exactly. It will be, you can watch the most eventful 0-0 draw when you watch Atletico or Porto.
Yeah. Keep your eyes open, head on a swivel. That all is
also when they play each other. Isn't it like the Royal Rumble?
There's new people coming in. There's music. Each sub has got their own music. It is brutal,
and it's that thing Spain, Portugal, you know, and capital city. Portugal's not a capital city, but yeah.
That Bruno, of everybody, man. He must have known he's going to get it because he is from up north.
Yeah.
But he played for Boavista, which is Porto's rival. So listen. In Portugal, when it doesn't matter how big a name Portuguese player you are, when you go back to play in Portugal, Ronaldo went back with Manchester United to play at Benfica. Oh, no. They booed him. He got sent off as well. Remember that game?
Yeah.
He got sent off as well. So Bruno, that's two red cards in two games.
In a week.
He's done. He's just like, fuck this guy. I can't anymore. I cannot carry this.
Do you think he's trying to get the manager axed?
Or maybe he's just got to go, I got to get out of here. I can't. I can't
be wasting my prime here.
I can't be here. This team is 4 or 5 years away from anything, if anything ever.
Yeah.
I can't be here for that. Like, I got to get out of here. I got to get some trophies.
Yeah.
Guy's not happy with the League Cup. Come on, man. FA Cup. The guy's got to win some stuff.
Yeah, like proper stuff.
You know?
Something substantial, yeah.
So, not a good look. And listen, of course, the English press are going to turn on him because the English press don't like Portuguese players. I said it. We know it's true.
No, of course.
They don't like them. Killed their golden generation twice.
Yeah.
So, they don't like Portuguese players. Getting a draw, 3-3. You know, it's one of those games. If you lose to Porto, it can ruin you. If you draw to them like that, listen, throw away a 2-goal lead, but you come back, whatever, it could galvanize you because that is not an easy place to get a result.
Yeah, especially after going down to a 10.
If you had to say up front, okay, take out the conditions and the circumstance for United, you go to Porto and get a draw, that's a good result.
I'd take it.
So to come out of it is good, but I mean, do you think it moves the needle in 10 out? Because now the Villa
game. No, it doesn't, because the thing is, as well, you were 2 up.
Mm.
You were 2 up and they came back and literally all their goals were scored in a space of 15 minutes. All their 3 goals, if you discount half time.
Mm.
For a space of 15 minutes, and you're just like, well.
How often does that happen with United, though?
All the time. What do you think it is, though?
I don't know. I think it's a confidence thing. Because when the shape goes, it goes. And they just can't reset. They just can't go, right. Breathing exercises.
And how often does one become two? Two become three?
Quick. And it's always quick, 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 quick. It's, listen, I mean, a Ten Hag, like.
But also, you look at the Tottenham game.
Yeah.
3 minutes in, we're 1-0, but we're 1-0 down.
Yeah. Half time.
Restart. What happens?
It's not a good look for Ten Hag because literally he would have just spoken to them. They still have his words in their ears.
Fresh.
And then, so
on both ends.
Is he demotivating them? Is he having a go at them? Do they not understand what he's trying to say? Because this is the thing about Ten Hag, and like, you don't have to win personality contests. The dude's got no personality.
Yeah, he's very...
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
And the more under pressure he gets, the more his English bundle expires. Yeah. And the weirder things he starts saying, he's very prickly.
Yeah.
We've seen him take on journalists. And one thing, you do not take on journalists unless you're in a position, unless you're Pep, unless you're Arteta.
Unless you're Ferguson.
Yeah. You know, because they will eat you alive. And that's what they're doing, because they've smelled blood.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, he's falling into that trap, because you could see, like, he gets very flustered and like...
Every press conference is have a go at a journo.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be doing that, man. You need them, because, listen, it's not like you don't need the noise. It's just not like the noise isn't happening. To go and incite the noise, you get one chance a week to talk outside of the emotions of a game.
Yeah.
And you're still being emotional. You're still saying crazy things. You're still bringing up... You know, a couple of weeks ago when Ronaldo was having a say and he was asked about it.
Yeah.
The simple answer there is go... Listen, he's an ex-player. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. I'm only here to talk about the next game.
Oh, honestly.
That's how you handle it. Instead, he tries to make a funny joke and tries to be sarcastic about Ronaldo and just fluffs his lines, bumbles over himself.
You look like an idiot.
It just goes, you don't have to. The guy's gone. He's long gone. Not your problem.
Honestly, you're not going to change people's opinion on him.
It's like, he can have his opinion. Knockout. Like, I'm not here to worry about ex-players being guys on podcasts with their friends and what they say.
Exactly.
That's how you handle it. Exactly. That's how you have the dig. Not try to, oh, he's inside here. Come on, man. Is he still dead, man, walking, got
to
be?
Oh, I mean, you have to be. I mean, because, Paulo, you look at all the resources that have been pulled into Man United.
That's the thing, man.
You look at what has had to happen for people to steer the club where they think it should be going.
Yeah.
And you see all what they've invested into bringing in the talent that he wants and to be sitting where he is. And...
We sat last week and we named a starting 11 full of his signings.
Yeah.
Full, right? Full of his signings. So they're giving him money. And by the looks of it is that, like, obviously there's a more of a structure now. But you look at it, they obviously bring him four or five players in a position. He's obviously having the say and he's choosing the players.
Sure.
He won't, like, De Ligt.
Yeah.
That's his player.
Yeah.
You know? These are his final choices.
Things like De Ligt, he looks so far off the pace.
Listen, the guy's going to come right. I can't believe he won't come right. What's also scarier is that you now got a group of players in that squad that knows how he wants to play.
Yes.
Right?
They know what his philosophy is.
Even they're not understanding it. There was a point yesterday with Martinez where he just completely lost his mind. He let the crowd get to him. The Argentine came out. He took that crazy shot. It's like, it's, oh man. Does a big Villa win? Move the needle.
No,
He doesn't survive international break.
Anything for you. Do you know if it was going to happen? Do you know where it really fell apart for him? Liverpool.
Mm.
That's where it was like, okay, cool. What's going on?
You don't lose to Liverpool, man.
I mean, but in the fashion that you did.
You don't lose to Tottenham.
Yeah.
You don't lose to Tottenham at home. Yeah. I don't believe he is the smallest problem at United.
I also don't.
I'm a big believer Marcus Rashford is complicit in a lot. I don't know if I was WhatsApping. Marcus Rashford is a player who gets managers fired, right?
Yeah.
Because he is undroppable, but he's also irrational.
Yeah.
So everybody knows what he has, so you always put him in the side. But he doesn't perform, but you can't take him out because of his status.
Yeah.
Joao Felix, Marcus Rashford, these guys get managers.
they all get you canned.
They get managers fired. And Rashford, we are like, how many managers now? Ten Hag will be his fifth?
Van Gaal, Mourinho.
Solskjaer. Okay, Ragnik.
Was
interim. And so it's four.
Carrick.
Four full-time managers.
Jesus, bro.
Rashford gets you fired. Rashford is the player who gets you fired.
But that's what I'm saying. Because like, as well, like, Rashford, like, his body language tells you everything. Like, you can tell how Rashford's going to play in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, totally. You can see it.
Yeah, it's wild, but...
Anyway, and Aston Villa, they're going to be bouncing.
I don't blame Onana. Onana's trying his best.
No, listen, when the dude does make saves, they're phenomenal. I know there's a kind of thing that he doesn't save things on target, but he does. He makes good saves. There are a lot of problems at United.
Yeah.
Ten Hag is not the biggest problem, but he's the quickest one to solve.
It's the easiest. Yeah.
That's the thing. And it's a PR win for Ineos and them.
Yeah.
But, you know, then we start the cycle again. New manager.
But if you're going to do it now.
Yeah, that's it. Or if you're going to do, you're writing off another season.
Yeah.
You're writing off
another season. And we don't have that time. We don't have that luxury anymore because you're spending.
Yeah, that's it.
You're spending, but like you aren't really getting results.
The interest is compounding, man. Interest is compounding.
And also, you know, in your businessmen, those guys, what is the bottom line? You think Jim Ratcliffe doesn't have time to look at the bottom line?
And listen, the plus side is if Ineos tell you to get on your bike, it's going to be a fucking nice bike.
Oh, you know what I mean? It's going to be a Tour de France winning bike.
It's going to
be a nice one.
So listen, it's been a bad week for Atletico Madrid, man.
Oh, bro, you get bashful by Benfica. Oof. That must hurt.
So first we go back, the derby, Madrid derby. Speaking of being dogs, they drag the aristocrats of Madrid right down to their level.
Yeah.
Courtois gets himself into trouble.
Oh, well, it was always going to happen.
They say they threw a bag of shit at him.
Wait. So somebody, like human feces?
So, obviously the fans are shitting on Courtois because he used to play for Atletico and goes play for Madrid. He's never been complimentary. He's quite a feisty character. And when Madrid score, he turns around and gives it back to the fans because they've been giving it to him. Well within his rights. And it wasn't over the top. It wasn't Emi Martinez shit. It was just, you know, yeah. So they start throwing things at him, bottles and lighters or whatever, and a plastic bag, a white plastic bag. And they say there was shit in that bag.
I just want to know.
And I think we see Rudiger carrying it.
My thing is, is it dog shit or is it human shit?
Pig shit. It's Spain. It's probably pig shit.
I know, but like, bro, there's a big difference between pig shit and human shit. Eh? Human shit's the most disgusting thing on earth.
That's so calculated that somebody had to sit and shit into a bag.
Bro, somebody must really hate you. How badly does somebody hate you?
Throw shit at you.
They took the time out. They said, listen, I'm going to take this dump and this dump is destined for one. Oh my God. Imagine being the person that has to sit next to that.
Rudiger, like one of the players, was carrying it off the field.
No, man.
Bad week. So anyway, that gets them not a full stadium ban, just that portion of the Metropolitano closed. And then they get hammered by Benfica. That is a bad week. That is a bad week. Like Benfica can beat you. Benfica's got quality, but they're also new manager.
But not like, four.
Not
they're,
for the,
yeah, they're not be hammering. Not they should. They should not be hammering. Atletico 4.
Yeah. No. That's
2-0. Yeah. 2-0. Yeah. Surprise. Okay. Yeah. Cool. I understand.
Game wait. It can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen.
4. No.
And they all came late. I think it was. Most of those goals were late in the second half.
But do you think it's just that one goal that just like broke the camel's back?
Yeah. You're pushing, and you know, as we see nowadays, because you see these big score lines between big teams.
Yeah.
Because I think it's like when you get it wrong, it just goes so wrong so quickly. And players can't think for themselves anymore.
Yeah. They have to be told, no, I'm following instructions. Yeah. No, man. Like,
yeah.
Like, what are we doing? Think, yeah. Think.
Kick. You know what drives me nuts, man? And
kick the ball out.
Oh, dude, the fucking around in the back.
Kick the ball out.
How many goals? I think it was Celtic. Celtic caught 7.
Yeah.
They kept getting caught trying to pass the ball out, and they kept trying to pass the ball out. It's like you are grown men. Surely, just get the sevens
know that. Like, dude, it's that and people being afraid to concede a corner.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'd rather it's not going to be an own goal, but I'm afraid to concede the corner, bro. Just kick it out. Like,
just
then we can reorganize.
You know, and I mean, look, I know Arsenal are very good at corners this season. How often do you see goals from corners?
Not too much.
You know what I mean? So it's normally
the second goal. It's normally the second ball from a corner.
Exactly. Yeah. No, man, this passing around, this fanning around at the back, like honestly, like you see it all the time. You go, yeah, there's time for it. But when it's not working, just get the ball up, man.
Yeah.
Just play the channels. Like it's not hard stuff.
It's also like things like, okay, cool. This move, like these guys are defending in shape. Let's give it back to the keeper and let's start again.
That's it.
Let's give it back to the goalie and start again.
You know, we search a... It's funny, I was watching the United game, because you don't go out to watch United games anymore.
Oh, no.
Gone are the days you go watching a pub. No.
If I'm going to have a meltdown, let me have a meltdown in my own house.
No, exactly. I want to be close to my stuff. I want to be close to my bed. I want to be near my things. And I'm watching and that's fucking Ten Hag, doesn't know this. And my wife says, why do you think you know more than him? And I said, you know what? I think I do. Because you and I sit here, now we're telling these coaches, elite coaches, Brendan Rodgers, we're kind of saying, Brendan Rodgers, tell your players stuff, right? The thing happens with coaches, go, oh, how do you know more than a coach? You know what? I'm not saying I know more than him, but these guys have to be so confident in what they do that they get to the point where they pig-headed.
Yeah.
that nobody can tell them otherwise, that they stop making good decisions.
And then they forget the basics.
Yeah. So Ten Hag, for example, is under so much pressure. And nobody, he will not listen to anybody.
Yeah, the decision maker, the frontal lobe is gone.
That's it.
And he's just seeing red.
That's it.
No pun intended. He's just seeing red and it's...
He's shut down.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to hear.
He's just waiting for somebody to just...
That's it. So I do know. I'm going to say now. I know more than every football manager, except Don Carlo.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're letting sense prevail.
That's it. That's
you're
it.
Letting sense prevail because like... Bro,
and I'm not afraid of losing my job.
Exactly, exactly. We've all been under pressure before. And like, you know, when you're under pressure, nothing's rational. Nothing's rational. Nothing makes sense. Oh, Paolo, setting the mood. I love it. I love it. It just got a bit dim because it's about to get dark because now we're talking about people being angry and stuff. But it's, like I was saying, we've all been under pressure. And when you're angry, you can't, it's highly unlikely that you're thinking rationally.
100%.
Because you're very fueled by emotion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
And when you're under pressure, you're going to lose your job. Like, you just stop listening to people. More Atletico Madrid. Bit of bad news for Atletico. Some good news is Antoine Griezmann will be available to them because he retired from France. And now it's about time. It was about time. And I think he's one of those players because, you know, he's kind of been in between generations. You know, you get these players who they are so excellent that you actually at the time don't realize how excellent they were.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I'm the biggest fan of Griezmann. I think he's a bit of a weird person.
He is a bit of a weird person. Also,
he did blackface.
Yeah, he did blackface. And also his brand of football is like, it's not memorable.
What is he? Because he's a forward, but he doesn't score a ton of goals. He's probably a very modern forward in that he does a lot of tactical and defensive work.
Yeah. So he probably does all the stuff that we don't see. And like, you know, he's not going to make headlines for it. But also, I just think that Barca move also just...
was an odd move.
It finished his career.
Peak Griezmann was Real Sociedad Griezmann.
You think so?
That was peak Griezmann because he was acting on instinct. But then I think, you know, you go to Atletico Madrid, the coaches he's played under... he's always been first choice, which means that the guy does a job.
Yeah.
You give him instructions, the guy's going to do a job. He's a good leader.
Yeah.
He's played multiple positions. A lot of people argue 2022 World Cup, he's player of the tournament.
You mean 2018?
2018. Sorry. A lot of people say he's 2018 player of the tournament.
No, I hear that.
Big friends with Pogba. So already don't like that. Remember when they got the NBA rings?
Oh, God.
After the 2018 World Cup, they had NBA star rings.
Griezmann's a black guy, guys. He's the white guy that we're like, bro, this guy's one of us.
So much so that he did decide to do blackface. And then he very much realized,
I'm not there.
Yeah. It's like, I can be that guy, but once I do blackface or say the N-word,
I realize,
oh, wait, there is a line here.
There is a line, yeah.
There is a line, yeah.
As much as these are my bras, but like, I can't. No, man, but like, I don't know. But I think it's about time because some guys just realized that like Benzema, he knew, okay, cool, international, I'll go back, but like there's nothing more I can give you.
Listen, he's always been good. What has he won? A couple of Super Copas, UEFA, he's won the Europa League Super Cup, Champions League once, World Cup, Nations League, and a European Championship runner-up. Never won a European Championship, never won.
That's the only thing France
won. Major award. Yeah, from that team.
Yeah.
Yeah. They lost two finals, didn't they?
They lost a World Cup final and a Euro final.
And they straight off to each other. So listen, kind of like a passing of the torch in the Spanish team, Lloris gone.
You mean in France?
In France, sorry.
Yeah.
Lloris gone. Giroud, Griezmann, Pogba, Varane.
Yeah, you have to start again.
Shame. Where are they going to find the players? Poor France.
Oh, bro.
How will they ever replace those players?
Honestly, like Chaumini is not, he's not French. Like
poor France.
Camavinga is not French.
Like, even Michael Olise. We'll even go borrow.
Yeah, oh, right. Yeah, exactly. We'll go loan them.
We've got people everywhere.
Kolomoane. It's okay. No, Choham. Like France have too many. They're too stacked.
Just too many, man. But listen, Griezmann, good player. One of those all is linked to coming to United or the Premier League.
I'm over him.
I'm glad he never came to the Premier League. I think that the Premier League would have absolutely destroyed him. I don't think he could handle the physicality.
It would finish him, yeah.
Mm, I don't think he would handle the physicality.
Also, I think, do you know, you would have been at United. We'd buy him and then he'd get injured. He'd get one of those long-term injuries and he'd,
like so many. Club World Cup. Oh. What are your thoughts on that?
For me, it's I think it's nonsense that the European teams only play a semi-final and a final if they win the semi.
Is the new format like that?
I should hope not.
No, so they've changed the format because Club World Cup goes huge now. And it's not even, so currently Club World Cup is the kind of like holders of all the continental and maybe runners up in cases just to fill it up. And you're quite right. The European and the South American also come in.
Yeah, Europeans and South Americans, yeah.
They come into semi because before that it's a group stage.
Yeah.
No, the Club World Cup is like a full on with 32 teams now.
Good.
It's in America next year. A lot of people getting the panties in a twist, more football, players boohoo, victims of success. I'm not in the mood for crying over millionaires who get to play a game all day.
Yeah, honestly, guys who've been doing what they've been doing as kids and they...
So there's a legacy thing. So they're taking all the champions and then runners-up and legacy champions. So Chelsea are in it, for example.
So what do you mean legacy champions? Hold on.
So the format goes... So yes, there's the format of the current intercontinental holders of each season, right? Then they got to pad it up. You got to make up 32.
Okay.
So there are legacy teams in there. Okay. So Chelsea are in there. I think Arsenal in there, if I'm not mistaken.
Arsenal?
No, not Arsenal. Liverpool are in there.
Mm-hmm. So, so they say, okay, these teams include Real Madrid, Man City, Bayern Munich and PSG. So they're playing.
Yeah. Even though PSG never won the Champions League.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah.
Yeah, so it's a legacy thing. Listen, it's a Super League by stealth. It's FIFA's Super League.
That's exactly what they wanted.
It's being played in America. So teams aren't happy about it because obviously there's no break. And that's high-level competition. Yeah. Or will it be? I don't know if it will be. It'll still be like a glorified preseason. It's happening in non-tournament years, right?
Okay.
So your elite players are basically got something happening every tournament.
Okay.
The clubs aren't very happy about it. They will be happy once their bank balances jump up, but it is being played in the United States. Definitely next one will be played in Saudi Arabia. We all know that's going to happen.
It's June, July. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. End of the season. And what they've done to sweeten the deal is they've given all the clubs involved in the Club World Cup an extra transfer window ahead of everyone else.
Oh, my man.
So how it works is that if you are one of the 32 clubs, any player whose transfer is, contract expires as a free agent next season, of which is guys like Mo Salah,
Trent Alexander, Virgil van Dijk, Jonathan David, and Son.
You can sign them in the beginning of June.
No.
And they can play for you.
No, Oaks. No.
How's that for a sweetener?
No.
How is that for a sweetener?
Do you know, imagine Real Madrid. Real Madrid would be like, listen, we have to catch them all.
Nah, that's not a Real Madrid move to do that.
No. But, Real Madrid won't do that.
But anyway, that's a sweetener because they're so desperate to make this thing work. They're so desperate to get the buy-in. They're kind of like, oh, by the way, we'll give you an extra transfer window. We'll let you sign players before anyone else. What's a Black Thursday discount?
Bro, but also the thing is,
in line, Ticketmaster.
Get in line. But like, other than the players that I've included, Kevin De Bruyne, Alphonso Davies, and Joshua Kimmich, their contracts expire June.
Yeah. And you don't have to wait because normally what you have to do is you can only sign the player from 1 July and only then can they play for you. In this new format, if a player's expiring, you can negotiate the contract, sort it out, and if you're one of the 32, he can play for you in June.
No. But like, I don't know. Who does that help though?
It's a sweetener. So Real Madrid got to catch them all. So Real Madrid... are looking at Trent. That's kind of the next big one they want to get. And next season, all indications are that Trent's going to Real Madrid. Free transfer. Right, they've been doing that well. This just gives them a jump on Trent a month before everyone else. You know, and bet in a new competition. Not like maybe he wouldn't want to, but it goes, okay, it is a bonus. It is just a concession of the big federations getting on their knees for all the big clubs. Validate my tournament. Pick me, validate my tournament.
I don't know. But we also, the type of teams that are involved in it, but like the only guys that only do things properly, well, that not per se do things properly, that I don't mind, that I don't think their club is bastard enough, is Bayern Munich. The rest, like City, Madrid. Look, Madrid have earned the right because Madrid have won.
They've been, but
City and like PSG, I'm just like, yeah, you've seen this movie. Also, don't City have bigger problems?
They'll make that stuff go away. I think we spoke about it last week. I don't think anything happens, and even if that, there's no punishment that fits their crime, so there's no way of punishing them.
Oh, man. No, man.
There's something interesting happening. Player. Weird player. Lissana Diarra.
Yes,
played bro. For Arsenal. Chelsea. Did he play for Chelsea?
Played for Chelsea. Played
Real
for
Madrid.
Yes, bro.
France. He was integral to France. He was one of those players. Remember there was a stage.
He was N'Golo Kante before N'Golo Kante.
Talking about players who can get a manager fired. Paul Pogba was another one.
Oh, yes.
Undroppable, irrational. And there was always the conversation, so, you know, but to make Paul Pogba work, you got to sign another player next to him, right? And Lissana Diarra was always the guy. And Lissana Diarra was the guy in the 2018 World Cup.
Yes. So listen to the CV. Le Havre, Chelsea, Arsenal, Portsmouth, Real Madrid, Anzi. You remember that? Mm-hmm. You remember that team?
Remember Anzi Makachula?
Makachakalaka.
That was warlord plaything like I've
honestly,
never seen.
Lokomotiv Moscow, Marseille, Al Jazeera, PSG.
So there's a bit of a...
Yes, he made only 250 appearances in his whole club career.
He was injured a lot. I remember him being a very injury-prone player. Go back to Le Havre. Did he go from Le Havre to Arsenal or Le Havre to Chelsea?
Le Havre to Chelsea.
And did he play for Arsenal at all? He did.
Seven games, 2007-2008.
Right. Remember?
I don't remember that, but anyway.
Remember when Le Havre was the place to go find a player?
Dude.
Every French player was coming out of there.
Dude.
Didn't Pogba even come out of there?
He did.
I think everybody came out of Le Havre.
He did.
So there's a bit of a story going on. So you mentioned his transfer there to Spartak?
To Lokomotiv.
Lokomotiv Moscow. So he's taking people to court, and there's a court case going on that could, people are saying it could be the new Bosman, right? Mm-hmm. So the Bosman, listen, a lot of you are too young to actually know this.
Yeah.
Listening, is that there was a guy, kind of like journeyman player, Jean-Paul, Jean-Marc, Jean-Philippe Bosman, something mm-hmm. like that. And he was kind of a nondescript Belgian player who fought for the fact that if my contract runs out, I'm allowed to move for free. Mm. I'm a free agent. Where before it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
You belong to your club until another team paid for you to be released, regardless of if your contract ran out or not. So he fought that and, of course, changed the landscape of football. And they say there's something happening now with Diarra who could have similar effects.
Yeah.
So what happened is he is taking FIFA to court, and it is with the Court of Justice of the European Union.
Jesus.
Basically, he was playing for Lokomotiv Moscow and had a fallout with them.
Yeah.
And they decided, right, breach of contract, we're terminating your contract, but you owe us £10.5 million.
Yeah.
Right? So, or €10.5 million.
Yeah, £8.8 million.
Right. So, effectively, he goes, okay, but I'm a free transfer, right? So, he gets approached by a Belgian club, Charleroi, and they approach FIFA and say, listen, we want to buy this guy, but you got to guarantee us that we're not liable for this fine because that's not anything to do with us. This guy doesn't have a club. His issues with his club are his issues. So FIFA didn't grant the guarantees. And he then joins, his transfer's off.
Yeah.
He sits without a club for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically brought legal action against FIFA and the Belgian Football League, claiming loss of earnings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a big thing in contravention of European labor law because they're stopping him from working.
So they're suing. So Diarra goes to the French Players Union and decides to sue FIFA and the Belgium Association for restraint of trade and €6 million in loss of earnings. Imagine.
Mm. I think I don't see the comparisons between Bosman because all FIFA's going to say is like, the court rules in FIFA's favor. That's the rules. This is a very extraordinary case. You know, because I think with the Bosman is, it was happening all the time. This is a very extraordinary case.
But they're saying a Belgian court did eventually award Diarra €60,000, not €6 million, while holding FIFA liable for the fact that he was unable to obtain a new contract due to club's fear of being held liable for Lokomotiv's compensation. Then the Belgian Federation was also held jointly liable for its failure to ensure the player could exercise his fundamental EU rights by taking up a position with one of the country's clubs.
It's such a unique position. And like I say, with Bosman, it was happening.
Yeah.
It was happening. And I think the biggest profile Bosman was Ruud Gullit.
Yeah.
I think he was the first massive player to leave under Bosman to go to Chelsea at the time. There's a very similar thing with Rafa Leão. Yeah. I can't talk to the exact details of it, but that's why Rafa Leao is still at AC Milan, because of his contract being so
watertight,
complicated. Because what happened is he was at Sporting, yeah. right? Came through the academy, and there was a period where a group of fans attacked the Sporting players in the change room. And it's kind of got pushed under the rug, but the president of Sporting at the time actually allowed the fans in. Because he wanted to teach the players a lesson.
Oh, Jesus.
Right? So he let the players in. And in that squad was guys like... The fans in. In that squad were guys like...
Who let the dogs out?
Rui Patricio was in there. Was Ooh. Portugal goalkeeper at the time. Bruno Fernandes was part of that squad. He's Ooh. The only one who came back. There were like top... Sporting had a really good side. And Rafa Leão was one of them. And a whole bunch of players left. Mm-hmm. They just rescinded their contract. Club couldn't protect me. The issue with Rafa Leão is because he came through the academy, there was compensation due to Sporting... He signed for Lille at the time. So he went to Lille. And under a very similar thing, because Sporting said, well, you're signing a player that's we're owed money for. There is still a portion of any transfer fee that is paid.
That goes to Sporting.
Exactly. So anybody who needs to buy, so Milan own him, but there's still this matter, this he needs to pay Sporting that money in this tribunal.
Jesus, bro.
So that's why it's very complicated to transfer him in or out. Because there's an extra fee that needs to be paid, and that he's not going to pay it, and AC Milan are kind of like, well,
it's not our fault.
It's not anybody's fault, but it has been put in. So these things do happen, but each one is a different scenario. So I don't see this as like far-reaching as the Bosman.
But what do you think? Who do you think is wrong, or who do you think is right in this scenario? Whose side are you more on?
Do you know in the way of these things, everybody's wrong, because we will never hear the correct version. We're just going to hear everyone's version.
Yes. Excuse the noise, guys.
Yeah, that's the live environment, recording environment. So I am loath to want to take FIFA's side, but FIFA have done nothing wrong in here.
Yeah, FIFA haven't, because they're only getting cuffed because they're the agent of everybody that plays football for lack of a better term.
Right. So,
if there's somebody to blame, let's go blame the big guys.
Well, I don't want to blame the player, because the player is a person of circumstance.
Yeah, he's doing what's best for him and his livelihood.
Maybe there's a story. Did they check the contract? Did he do it? Or you can argue that, but...
We weren't there.
You know, let's blame the Russians.
Right?
Let's blame the Russians. Let's blame Lokomotiv.
Right.
Blame the Russians. I think let's leave it there.
Yeah, bro.
This is Working Title FC. After this, Senzo and I, when we're not watching sports, watching sports documentaries. And we both watched the same one this week.
Oh, man.
And I feel we need entrance music.
Ho.
This is Working Title FC, sports documentaries time. So far we've spoken to you about the Di Maria documentary. Last week we spoke to you about all the All or Nothings, and we teased this week's Mr. McMahon, currently on Netflix.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Now some people might go, is a documentary about WWE, which something bothered me in the documentary, right?
Tell me.
Right.
It might have been the same thing that bothered me, but yeah.
So obviously it used to be World Wrestling Federation, WWF. Then they had to change the name literally because of the World Wildlife Fund. Yeah. And now they're WWE. So much of what they talk about is stock footage, archive footage, where they mention WWF. I watch subtitles, and every time it said
WWF?
Yeah.
It said WWE. I was like, no.
Really
man.
Bothered me.
It did bother me as well. I was like, is this person retarded? Because honestly, you also aren't going to get sued for that, because you are literally paraphrasing what the guy's saying.
I mean, that's what it was called at the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Jeez, I mean, that means WWF's lawyers are very good.
Can you imagine?
How good are those guys?
Can you imagine that
you will not mention our name?
A whole Netflix, a whole world wrestling entertainment, worldwide, whatever, are scared of their lawyers.
Yeah, bro.
You got to be scared of activism lawyers.
Oh, bro.
Yeah.
Because they're not doing it because of the money. They're doing it because they actually can.
And the clout, because they know this is going to be the big one.
This increases my stock massively.
So Mr. McMahon tells the story of Vince McMahon. You mentioned it last week that he only met his father when he was 12. And then he meets his dad, who is running wrestling. Wrestling was very different at the time. And then Vince, each kind of like little region had their own kind of like wrestling federation. Yeah. Vince McMahon starts the movement to take over all of them, basically.
Poach them.
Not unite them, just take them over. Yeah. Ruthless businessman.
Yeah, I mean, that's why he's smart. That's why he's a billionaire.
He is, man. He's
3 billion deep.
If you watch the news, I mean, we're giving nothing away. Of course, he's had a step down. Yeah. Allegations of sexual, yeah, what, inappropriateness, or they're straight up like real sexual harassment, sexual assault,
no. And
why does it
being, always, and being like in kidnapping ring and all that?
Why does it all end up in that way, man?
I don't know, man.
Powerful black dudes, powerful white dudes, yeah. Just power. Like, do you just get to a point where you're like, nah, the rules don't apply to me anymore?
Don't be a sleaze, bro.
But it's happening. It happens all the time. Like when it's your time, but like, time's up.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, as whether you and if you're a gent, whether you have been aware of it or not, you might have, you have said something inappropriate about like a woman before. And but like now, you're just like, if I get powerful and all that, like who's
I just make it go away.
Yeah,
it will just go away. I'm more powerful than that person. It just keeps happening, and it's going to keep happening because it's that time, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
But before that, he's not, so obviously, when do you still watch wrestling? When did you stop? Because everyone was into wrestling at a stage.
I stopped, I think, beginning of high school. Grade 8.
Okay. Because that's the time you do start.
Yeah.
That's the time you do start. I had 2 phases in wrestling.
Yeah.
So obviously, in the 1980s, yeah, that's when Hulk Hogan,
yeah,
Roddy Piper.
Yeah, yeah.
When
wrestling was real.
Wrestling was real. British Bulldog.
Yeah, man.
You know, Mr. T was involved in wrestling.
Honestly, right? Yeah.
So for me as a kid, you know how we used to see wrestling in those days?
Right, tell me.
So here's a history lesson. Children, gather around. Uncle Paul is going to tell you a story.
Here it is.
Back in the day, South Africa, we only had 3 TVs. It's actually doing 2 TV channels. Mm. And they were very heavily regulated by the apartheid government.
Yeah.
And there was where Northwest now is, where Sun City is now, it used to be an independent state called Bophuthatswana.
Yeah.
And they weren't.
Oh, Bob TV.
Under the rules of the apartheid government.
Uh-huh.
So that's why a lot of international acts used to. That's why they started Sun City.
Yeah.
Because gambling was legal.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Titty shows were legal.
Yeah, yeah.
You could bring in international artists. And it was like a 2-hour drive from Johannesburg.
Yeah.
And one of the things there is their TV channel wasn't under the rules of apartheid, so they could play anything.
Ah, right.
I watched Fresh Prince for the first time.
Okay.
Can you imagine the concept of the SABC apartheid government approving a show like Fresh Prince where there is a black family who live in a mansion in Beverly Hills?
In Bel Air, dude.
Can you imagine them falling off their fucking stoops?
They'd be like, this is never going to happen.
Right.
So they're going to get ideas.
So that's where I first watched Fresh Prince, and then they used to show wrestling. And right, of course now, Hulk Hogan, all these guys. Yeah, yeah. Like Hulk Hogan was a superhero, a comic book character come to life.
Yeah.
Fascinating. So that was my first kind of like.
Sure.
Then I kind of fall out of it for a little while. And then exactly in high school, 14 years old, that's when the era, Razor Ramon, Bret Hart, Hunter, I still call him Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Triple H for those of you.
Gold Dust.
Gold Dust.
The Undertaker.
Gold Dust is the worst guy ever.
Oh, I loved it. That guy was a creepy fuck. Where's his Me Too?
Honestly,
that guy's got stories.
That guy's unhinged. But you see, like, all the careers that
Gold Dust.
you see all the careers that wrestling has launched. Like, bro, The Rock.
Because that was the next phase then.
Yeah.
Because then that was like The Rock, John Cena, Stone Cold, where they wrestling was a place to look. Or guys like that had the profile.
Yeah, Batista, all those guys, yeah.
Batista's another one.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like middle period with Bret Hart and all those guys, Undertaker.
Bret the Hitman Hart. Oh, his wife wasn't happy with the thing, eh?
So, man, they tell the story. Yeah, so they tell the whole story of the WWF from then right till now.
Well, not his wife.
Owen Hart's wife.
Yeah,
because obviously we know the story. Yeah. Owen Hart, Bret Hart's brother, died.
Jesus, bro.
I remember that story. It's quite wild. And
Wrestled afterwards, bro.
That was the thing about it. And that's why, like, us putting together the show today, we're like, hey, listen, the show's got to go on. People want sports entertainment. You've got to put it
bro,
on.
Bro, because if
I'm the Vince McMahon of podcasting.
Bro, get right. And thankfully, nobody's died.
Blood on the floor.
Blood on the floor. Bro, how do you... But
there was that one shot that they have, because obviously if you don't know the story, they were going to bring him into the ring on a harness.
Yeah.
The harness broke and he fell. Jeez. Like a couple of stories.
But yeah, I saw the height that he fell from. Man. I'm like, no, but that will kill you.
He died in the ring And because the lights were off, no one saw it. Vince McMahon said the show goes on. All the wrestlers, like there was even one interview where like the one female wrestler was crying and they now got to act like they still got to carry on. And then the one shot, I think it was The Undertaker, still looks at his blood on the mat.
Jeez.
Go watch that piece again. The Undertaker. And like,
if you freak out The Undertaker.
You freak out the fucking Undertaker.
Yes. No. If you freak The Undertaker, what the hell?
Oh, the remnants of the urn. Remember that fucking Paul Bearer.
Oh, Paul Bearer, bro. Paul Bearer.
So Vince McMahon is like, you got to admire what the dude's done, but shit, you cannot like him.
No, he's not likable, eh? He's not likable whatsoever.
So even at the period of like, I kind of got out of wrestling when the period where he is Mr. McMahon and made him, it all about him and started bringing his family in. All that shit, all that Mr. McMahon stuff, when it became really hokey and soap opery, the dude was living, I mean, he was basically leaving little breadcrumbs of all the shit that he was doing.
Yeah.
Like he was definitely talking about his affairs, talking about the abuse. Like he very, like I say, you got to admire what the dude's done.
Yeah.
And it's not like he came from nothing. Right. Yeah, okay. His first 12 years, but you know, from 12, his dad had money.
Basically gave him a leg up. And right. Here's an in.
But to build what he had, to be such a ruthless winner.
Yeah, bro. That's the thing. But that's the thing about billionaires. Like it's that competitive edge.
You know who's the guy, old friend of ours. A lot of listeners will know him, who I think would love Vince McMahon. Because you and I think we watch it. We go, I can admire what you've done, but not the way you've done it.
Yeah.
MKT.
Yeah, no. And I just like this guy will ignore you.
No black or white. Have I won?
Yeah.
Have I won?
That's the bottom line. But that's what they were saying. Like,
and that's what he gives a shit
about.
What
he was saying. He says, I don't care about anything else. I just want to win.
Yeah.
I just want to win. And do you know who's actually, I was actually impressed by Triple H. Smart guy, bro.
Hey, man. I like, you see, you still call him Triple H. I call him Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Oh, that's a character. His government name.
Man, he used to come in riding stirrups. He had a butler taking his jacket off. Fucking love that guy. Yeah. And he is now, so smart boy, marries the boss's daughter.
Yeah.
He is what, the head of content? He's probably going to be the boss of the whole thing.
He's going to be CEO and president.
Him and Stephanie McMahon going to run the whole thing.
But also the way he comes across, the way he articulates himself. Yeah, and like very, he's very, very smart guy.
And
very aware of what he's doing.
Seems unnervingly calm.
Right.
For a man that could throw you across a room.
The cerebral assassin.
He just seems so clever. Imagine being in a meeting with that dude. Like, you know, he's not losing his temper.
That's very, such a big dude.
Very disciplined. Like, and you just know at like some point, you're just looking at his hands. You're like, this dude can put me through a wall.
At will.
Just for fun.
At will.
It won't even be the highlights of his day.
Right.
He will throw me through a wall. It won't even be the most interesting like thing a drive-by.
And keep it moving like a driver.
Smart boy. Smart guy.
But like, what did you get? So when it comes to the overall product and like what was said in that, in that series, what do you take away from it?
So like I'm always interested because obviously we're in podcasting, we're in this new media space, you're trying to like take something that's not really anything and turn it into something.
Mm.
And whenever I see shows like this, I can't help but draw the comparison because he took something that was hokey. Like when they show wrestling, what it was like in the 70s and early 80s.
Okay, cool.
It was like the shit that they pull on at fucking Woodmead retail market.
Yeah, bro. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay? Like real church fate, low budget stuff. Yeah. And he turned it into probably the preeminent sports entertainment that like, let's not piss around about it because obviously we know the WWF started a football league that bombed out. But let's not fuck around about it. Every main line sport, NBA, NFL, Premier League, have all taken from WWF, WWE.
Something.
And implemented into what they do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Merged this world of sports and entertainment. They've all done it.
Of course.
They've all done the theater. And I would tell you not, how dare any of those sports to say we haven't borrowed from it. So to say that the impact of taking something that was this hokey, weird little thing for weird rednecks and turn it into something that is like, even for non-wrestling fans, has an impact on everything else.
So yeah,
even exactly. Hollywood, even there's Hollywood.
Exactly. So
The Rock, John Cena, I mean, they're box office, right?
My thing is that like, okay, we're not saying that it's, I don't know if fake is the right word, but like somebody said, Undertaker said it nicely. He said predetermined.
Predetermined, yeah.
Predetermined. Because, and then I think we touched on it last week when we were speaking, like, bro, if I'm throwing you through a steel, through a wall. It's going to, if I'm throwing the average person, like it's going to hurt them.
Yeah.
through a steel wall. Like, it's going to... So
I think the thing that struck home, so there's a part where very early on, Hulk Hogan is on a talk show and he puts the talk show host in a hold, right? Yeah.
But that guy quickly...
Of course it was meant to be a fuck around, but the host was pushing Hulk Hogan, trying to get a rise out of him. So Hulk Hogan said, I'm going to choke you out.
I'm going to show you.
The instance... I mean, Hulk Hogan wasn't even straining.
Yeah.
He just held this man
and quickly. And the guy actually hit his head.
With no effort. That makes you realize what these guys are doing. So it's the same thing I say. We all know Fast and Furious is fake.
Yeah.
We all know the Avengers...
Exactly.
Is fake, but we love it.
But also, you know that like your favorite soap opera like is fake. But like the thing is, for me, I was like, you know what, whether it was fake or not, like at some point you were invested.
And you because the storylines, you got to admire the athleticism.
Yeah, honestly.
The size of those guys and the way they fly, man. That's not fake for me.
No.
That is, you're still doing...
You have to be an athlete to do
there's that. There's no wires. There's no CGI. There's no stunt doubles.
Yeah.
You know,
but you're right. It did get to like when it was the Mr. McMahon era. Like it got too gimmicky, and I think that's when I was also like, okay, this is rubbish.
But that was kind of their revival. If you watch through the documentary, yeah. You know that was their best moment. Listen, the one thing you got to admire people who tap into the Donald Trump thing.
Yeah.
That's like America isn't the coasts. America's not West Coast, East Coast. America's not LA and New York. America's everything in between.
Yeah,
and the guys who tap into that, you know. Those are the guys, they get it.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're going to do what they need to do. They win?
Well, they're going to look at the numbers at the end of the day and they're going to tally up the score and they're going to tell you, listen.
Even with these cases of Vince McMahon, he wins because he just walked away.
Yeah.
You can't touch me.
Yeah.
You can't touch me. You can't touch what I built.
Yeah. And I'm a free man at the end of the day.
I won.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, it's fascinating. Mr. McMahon, watch it for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
Watch it for a hell of a lot of reasons. Yeah. It's really, really good. That is our documentary of the week. Put it on Netflix, five or six episodes, and you'll fly through them.
Yeah.
And really well done. And listen, you either love or hate Vince McMahon, but my God, you got to admire the bastard. Right, so this is part of it. We'll start doing new episodes soon, but we're busy replaying a series we did called Goat Farm.
Give you a test and get you nice and cool for it.
Yeah. And also, remember our guy, Ryan. Remember Ryan. Good kid. I miss his updates about YouTubers and the Sidemen. The Sidemen is, they're YouTubers. They're all the YouTubers united.
It's like the Avengers.
Yeah. So Ryan was big into that. Anyway, today we go back to the 80s and 90s. My favorite tennis player of all times. Mr. Swag himself, Andre Agassi.
Mr. Hollywood. Real Mr. Hollywood, actually.
Listen. Can I tell you something I'm so excited about? I can't remember if I talk about it in this piece. I don't think I do. So there's a reissue of, I had a golden fleece that I needed to get. Andre Agassi had the Nike Air Tech, his sneakers, custom sneakers. He had two. He had the Hot Lava and there was the Midnight. So the Hot Lava was pink and white and bluish. The Midnight was luminous yellow, black. The luminous yellow don't exist. You cannot find them for love or money.
If you can get those, then you're a sneaker god.
A friend of mine had them. But the Hot Lava, they've reissued.
Oof.
And they're available. And they're not the price of a small car.
Oh, bro, then go for it.
There's only one thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what they call the 80s reissue. So the sole is discolored because to try to get it authentic.
Yeah.
So that's kind of thing holding me back. Because they look a little bit old. Those things got to look box fresh.
Yeah.
So those are reissued. I got my eye on them. This is Goat Farm. We talk about Andre Agassi.
When he had hair.
Never had hair. When I was a kid, right? 12, okay. 13, maybe a bit younger. I had lots of posters on my wall. Like we all have posters, right? The three biggest posters I had on my wall were this one.
Oh, class.
Right, that's Michael Jordan.
That's very nice.
Dunking on
You just got Sensor's attention.
No, that's iconic.
Okay, it's an iconic poster.
91 finals.
See, we got Zeb.
We got Sensor. His attention.
We got
him, yeah. So Michael Jordan, rising star, dunking on Magic Johnson. So that was, I looked at that poster.
You don't get to call him Magic.
I looked at that poster every day, Irvin Johnson. I looked at that poster every day and only now I got, shit, is it Magic? It is him, right? So that was the first biggest poster.
Wait, can I ask how you acquired this poster? Because this is quite a cool poster.
Hey, guys.
Was everywhere.
When we were kids, you could buy posters. You went to a music store. And they had Cardies. Like Cardies and and they had like
50 rand a poster. Like
you'd buy posters, and people would buy me posters for my birthday. They knew I love posters. You could buy these posters, right? The next one,
okay.
The second biggest post I had.
Cindy Crawford. You're such a 90s person.
Cindy.
Everybody that was.
Cindy Crawford in her yellow swimsuit zip down.
Timeless. Richard Gere, Cindy Crawford.
Man.
Wow,
right.
Okay.
That supermodel.
That was the second biggest post. Don't ask me what I was doing. Cindy Crawford. Google this for yourself. Cindy Crawford. The chick yellow.
The lady swimsuit. That made the mold.
Man.
Can I ask? Has this poster disappeared with marriage?
Yeah. Probably. Listen. They disintegrated. Had a lot of.
It's Cindy Crawford. It's Cindy Crawford in the 90s.
Cindy Crawford in the 90s. Like, come on, I was Chief. A teenager guy.
Oh, come now. No pun intended.
But the biggest poster I had in my room, and the first and inductee, we're opening up the gates on the goat farm.
Right.
Yeah.
Cutting the ribbon,
opening up the gates. The first episode, goat farm, gate one.
Do it, Polly.
This is the biggest poster in my room.
Come on,
Agassi.
Come on, 1992.
On the goat farm.
He's swag.
And this is the one, Andre Agassi. Mullet, which we thought was his real hair at the time. Right? We thought it was his real hair at the time, but he's wearing his full, I think that was called the Night Flight colorway. Luminous yellow, black, yellow, Donna tennis racket, and the first hairy stomach. Look how hairy his stomach is.
This is when Brooke Shields said, I have to get a piece of that.
She was all over that, right? And Andre Agassi is my first inductee into Goat Farm. So let me tell you about him. Born 1970, Andre Kirk Agassi was born. I love the thought of it. He's born in Las Vegas. Like, who's born in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Like, who lives in Las Vegas?
Him. He's a rock star, bro.
With that hairstyle.
So Andre Agassi.
What do you know about this guy, bro?
Senzo's showing us more photos.
If you listen to Goat Farm right now, you got to open up your browser. While you listen
Google
to this,
Andre Agassi.
Just Google. Yeah.
Just
Google.
And what's that colorway you said?
The Night Flight colorway.
You got to Google
Night
that.
Night Flight colorway. Oh, I'll talk to you guys about Night Flight later on. Okay. Former American number one tennis player, right?
World number one, bro.
World number one, 8-time major champion, Olympic gold medalist, runner-up, widely considered one of the greatest tennis players of all time, second man of 5 to achieve a Grand Slam in the Open era, the 5th of 8 to make the achievement overall. Mm-hmm. He's also the first man to achieve a Grand Slam and an Olympic medal, as well as the only man to win a career Super Slam plus a gold medal, right?
Yeah.
Even now, when we talk about Federer and Nadal and just knocking Djokovic.
I like the other guy more, tennis-wise. I like the other guy more.
Okay, so you cannot talk about Andre Agassi without talking about Pete Sampras.
Pistol Pete,
you can't. Yin and yang. But man, listen.
But must I tell you, I'll tell you why Agassi gets it.
Pistol Pete was the better tennis player.
Hard.
Right?
But Pistol Pete never won in France.
So Agassi,
never won on clay.
First man to win all 4 singles on 3 different surfaces.
Yep.
Hard clay grass, and remains the most recent American to win the French Open.
Yep.
And I think he's also
American male.
American male. And he won 17 Masters title and a Davis Cup. He's got it all.
He's complete.
Agassi has won everything.
Second best returner of all time. After Djokovic.
Djokovic. At the time,
he was
the number one returner. And the way he played, baseline,
all the
time. Sat on that baseline, and he had such a unique way of hitting the ball. As it rose up, almost like baseball style, as the ball rose up, run, double hand, just as it spun up. Fantastic returner. In fact, he trained Djokovic.
Yeah.
He trained a young Djokovic to then become the greatest returner. So Andre Agassi was this modern tennis player. Now, when you talk about
an anomaly, bro.
You talk about Pete Sampras. He was a golden child. He's a phenom. He turned pro at 16, 17, around about there. Absolute phenom. They said, this guy's going to be the greatest American player, greatest tennis player, if not for Pistol Pete. And it's one of those where you come in at the same time as someone, he's your rival. Oh, he's just going to win everything.
I didn't do too badly, bro.
It's
following Pete Sampras.
It's a Ronaldo-Messi thing.
Yeah.
With no Messi, Ronaldo's the greatest player ever. With no Pete Sampras, Agassi is the greatest player until recently, right?
At what age did he come
ooh,
in?
Ooh, greatest player. I don't know.
He came until recently.
But I didn't see them play.
He figured out Boris Becker. I'll tell you about Boris Becker. So the thing about Andre Agassi with and Pistol Pete. Pete Sampras was Captain America. You know what you're going to get.
That was the guy. That was the guy, head boy.
You set your watch by
that
his
guy
hairstyle.
Was, yeah. He's the head boy.
Back and sides, always wore white. He was Captain America. Andre Agassi was Tony Stark. You don't really know what you're going to get.
Rock star, bro.
Rock star. Okay? Break the rules. You know he wouldn't play early Wimbledon, Ryan, because he wouldn't wear all white.
Yeah.
So is he kind of like, who's that other tennis player?
Jesus, bro.
Nico, that guy who always gets in trouble for swearing.
Kyrgios,
yeah.
So he wasn't as bad boy as that. And I think the thing with Agassi is you had this impression that he's a bad boy because of the way he looked.
It's not that he was a bad boy.
He wasn't a bad boy. He just looked like one.
He just had eclectic interests. It wasn't just tennis for him. There was other stuff going on.
It wasn't really. Yeah, look, sure, he dated actresses. He dated Brooke Shields. You know, Senzo, it wasn't even that.
Yeah.
So Kyrgios is a bad boy. He cultivates his image. Andre Agassi, and very specifically.
Andre Agassi doesn't cause crap.
Never got into stuff off the court. Never fought with umpires. Never fought opponents. In fact, in one of the American U.S. Opens, Pete Sampras wasn't feeling well, and Agassi said, I'm not playing, so he's not calling the match, and I'm not playing him sick. I'm going to give him time to recover.
Yeah,
and he lost the game.
Sportsman.
And he lost.
Sportsman.
And Sampras said, no other sportsman does that. And that was Agassi.
I want you at your best, dog.
Yeah. So I think there was a perception of Agassi because he looked that way,
right,
that he was this absolute renegade. He wasn't. He was super, super pro.
Can I ask
Jesus,
his sponsors?
Nike, bro.
Nike. Well, Nike.
Till the end,
Nike
boy.
All the way. Now,
did he have a preferred tennis racket?
Donay. Donay.
No, just head.
No, he had Donay. I know.
Oh, yeah,
I
did have Donay. Yeah.
I loved Andre Agassi. Don't ask me, right?
This is why. Now, you see the contrast. This is why I'm a Pete guy, because I was a Wilson guy. So Wilson, Sampras, and then Federer's my guy.
But
Donay was a nothing brand and become a kind of a nothing brand. When Agassi had it, you could not buy a Donay racket because all the kids were buying it.
Yeah.
And that's what he was. So like I say, he kind of comes into tennis, 18 years old. He's ripping things up. I mean, looks the way he does. His hair was a wig. He started losing his hair at 19 and started wearing a wig.
Don't worry, you feel his pain.
Right? So Ryan and I can sympathize with that. But of course, he's most famously known for his hair.
Yeah.
Right, of everything. So that is Andre Agassi.
Are there any hair regulations in tennis right now?
Nah, bro.
No.
There aren't, hey?
You do what you want. Do what you want.
Because I'm just saying, like, a lot of these people look clean cut, and it's not often you see someone like that.
But
I'm just thinking, are there regulations in place that I just don't know about?
But Ryan, that's the crazy thing about Andre Agassi and the goat from Wild Love It. So you talk about Nike. Nike didn't sponsor tennis.
Yeah.
They sponsored Agassi.
Oh, I
right?
see.
Because he fitted that renegade, that rebel, everything like you were. Like I say, didn't play Wimbledon because he wouldn't wear white. Wears white, wins Wimbledon. Right? Goes his first year, wins Wimbledon. And all white. Even the Nike swoosh on his shirt was white.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of Michael Jordan when he used to wear the breads and then Nike used to pay the fees every time he was fined for not having white sneakers.
Every time he was fined. And that was just Nike and Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
That was just Andre Agassi in this era.
Okay, I mess with Agassi. Do you know why? I'll tell you why. A Grand Slam, career Grand Slam in tennis is a big deal. I don't count Fred Perry and Don Budgen or Emerson. Like, they played before. And Rod Laver, like, come on. Agassi is on Mount Rushmore with the big three, bro.
You know what?
He's there. Like,
I'm biased because he's in my goat farm.
No, of course. He's your goat. Yeah, yeah.
Man, so listen. If you want a guy who was a phenomenal player as well as a cultural icon, you know, you're not getting further than Agassi. Of course, he marries Steffi Graf.
Yep.
Who kind of won a few things herself. She was
22 of them.
She wasn't terrible.
Only person to do a Golden Slam.
Do you know he says he's never beaten her?
Obviously. That goes without saying.
He doesn't beat her.
Bro, Steffi Graf has a Golden Slam, bro.
Man, so Steffi Graf elite. Do you know Andre Agassi?
That's ridiculous, bro.
Because you want to say greatest of all time till then. Were you thinking who were Becker or Boris Becker?
Bjorn Borg, bro.
Okay. So Agassi...
Bjorn Borg retired at 27. Remember that.
You know, okay.
Granted. 11 Grand Slams.
Okay. Agassi beat
five French Open in a row and five Wimbledon in a row.
Okay.
Tied at 27.
I'm biased. Agassi beat Boris Becker.
And he was hella swag.
Agassi beat Boris Becker 10 times out of 11. Do you know why? Do you know what he figured out?
What?
He watched Boris Becker, and every time Boris Becker, whichever way he's going to serve, he pointed his tongue out in that direction.
Wow.
And Agassi studied that. And being a great return server, smash, smash, smash. And only after Boris Becker stopped playing, he said, why do you have this record? And he revealed, he said, I watched what he is doing.
Yeah, but you'd have to have hawk eyes to see from the other side of the court.
Like, not really, bro. You're not that far from each other.
No, man, that's court.
Well, no, but to see the direction of a tongue pull, like, that's...
No, listen, it's Agassi now.
Boris Becker. On Wimbledon at 17.
I have.
Oh my God.
A golden. Jeez. I have a holy grail set of sneakers I want to get.
Hold on, do it.
Now, this is what I'm talking about. So, Andre Agassi's most famous line that he had was called the AirTech Challenge. And they came in three colorways. Okay, but the two colorways he wore most were the Hot Lava, okay, which is pink and black, and the Night Flight, which is that luminous yellow, green, and white. These are my holy grail sneakers. Last I saw, you could get a reissue pair for 15,000 Rand. And that, do yourself a favor. AirTech Challenge 2. Check them out. Andre Agassi's signature line. That is the holy grail. A couple of years, Nike reissued everything. A lot of the clothes he used to wear, they put them out. And that is it, guys. That is my introduction, my first entrant.
Not bad.
The gates are open. Of the Goat Farm. And Andre Agassi is in there.
Set the standards pretty high. I like it. But also, I actually kind of like where this feature is going. Because I can see how much you're invested, because it's just something you've loved.
He's my goat, man.
And even though Senzo's throwing all kinds of factors.
Can't change it.
No. I'm not saying he wasn't swag.
I'm not saying he wasn't swag.
Listen, it's just different. He was just different.
You know, Federer and Nadal and Djokovic have taken tennis the next level.
Oh, yeah.
But
you'll never see anything
Agassi
like
and Sampras,
they took tennis the next level
in their day.
Yeah. Because McEnroe was something, and then Pistol Pete and thing.
It just came to. And you know what? Like Federer and Nadal, they pushed each other.
Yeah.
Would Sampras have been as good without Agassi?
They needed each other.
Yeah. As much as Agassi, would Sampras be as good? Andre Agassi, unfortunately, suffered a lot of mental health issues. One of the reasons he stopped playing, and I read his autobiography. Very sad. He went through a lot, especially at the heart of his power, heart of his fame. He really battled with all the attention. He just wanted to play tennis. He just wanted to play tennis.
What age did he retire?
So he retired. He carried on playing into his 40s. Okay. He stayed on the circuit. Carried on playing into his 40s. Still coaching nowadays. Coaches young players. Like I said, coaches Djokovic. His son is
Prime Djokovic, bro.
Prime Djokovic. His son is a baseball player. Him and Steffi Graf's son.
Very, very nice.
Good. Yeah, go do something else, bro.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Go do something else, bro. Like, tennis, bro, come on now.
This family's done tennis.
Like that.
It's like Beyonce and Jay-Z's kid.
I'll just show you your dad's one.
Yeah.
But I won't even show you mine, because that will give you anxiety. Steffi Graf must tell their kid. I'll just show you your dad's.
It's like Bronny, man.
I see Bronny, bro.
Yeah, I see him too.
Kun Aguero's kid.
Football.
Your grandfather's Maradona, your dad is Kun Aguero. Go become a lawyer, bro.
Working title FC, my boy Andre Agassi, love him. Man. Love him.
You know, even do you know, for a guy who is that like polarizing in his sport, in his retirement, you don't hear a lot about him. He's kind of like, he's aging gracefully.
Hanging out with Steffi Graf.
Oh, I mean.
You know, just know that like my wife is going to beat me. Tennis
all day, every day. And like, I've been there.
I love you, Andre Agassi, and you can do all the reads. You can be one of the best return servers in the history of the game. Steffi Graf's got you.
Yeah.
Even if she doesn't got you, you let her have you.
Yeah. I like that.
So, Working Title FC, thank you for joining us. If you're an old fan, thank you for coming back. If you're a new fan, thank you for finding us. Please share this with your friends.
Just thank you for being a fan.
That's it. You can find us if you're on IOL.co.za. We'll be there every week. But if you found us and you want to get more of us, come listen to old episodes. We are on every platform, Working Title FC. We refuse to ever get a name. We will forever be working title. We're always working on it. So wrapping up today, with Senzo's non-football story of the week.
Huh. So, a certain sporting legend actually had a ski accident in 2013. And the last week, recently, he made his first public appearance. I'm talking about Michael Schumacher, everybody. Mm. So, yeah.
At his son's wedding?
Yeah, at his son's wedding. Yeah, so it's... Well, his daughter's wedding, sorry. It was his daughter's wedding in Spain.
Okay.
And Saturday, yeah. And they're like, guests were instructed to leave their mobile phones at the door to protect the privacy of Schumacher. Imagine.
Man, you know what I thought? Do you remember like a year or two ago came out the Schumacher documentary?
Yeah.
And there was like a lot of stuff at his house. And I really thought they're going to have like a closing shot moment of him like in the garden, yeah, sitting in the distance. Is it him? Isn't it him? But they, you know, I'm cheesy. So, you know, we said it earlier of Schumacher, his story, that guy defied death multiple times a day. Every time he got in a car and then he like paralyzes himself on holiday.
It's weird, eh?
Right.
And he spent like six months in a coma.
What state do you think he's in? Like, we'll never see him. To be completely...
Also, yeah, if you show him, you're probably getting so sued.
Mm.
So sued. But like, I don't know. I actually don't know.
You know what's amazing about his legacy is that guests are going to respect the family wishes. But, you know, there's caterers there. There are people working the wedding. And you know whose wedding you're working at, right? And you're not, you're a gig employee. You're a gig employee, right? You got nothing to lose. To sneak a photo of him and sell it to Die Bild or Die Spiegel.
Yeah.
Right? And no one did, which I think shows how much people respect him or how scared people are Schumacher estate. Yeah. But I think that's great because you think about it. You're just a caterer. You get a gig. You're quickly going to figure out who it is. You're going to go, he is going to be there. And you don't just like sneak a phone in up your bum or something and get that photo, go straight to Spiegel.
Yeah.
You know, euros, Deutschmarks. I'll pay you in Deutschmarks because they don't want a trace of it.
But I also think but it's good on them for respecting people's privacy because like 100%. At the end of the day, I mean imagine it was your dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like that's why I think Mick Schumacher it was a poison chalice for him because it was about his dad more than it was about him.
You're never gonna be judging on your own merits.
Yeah.
It happens so many times. And you know what? Things like this, and I know there's like the Ayrton Senna story is gonna come up again. You kind of watch Formula One now and it's like in a period of no characters, despite you know, Drive to Survive did a really good job to try to get us interested. And we did until Red Bull took over. And kind of like, I really think we're all, again, even if you support Red Bull, you don't want them to win the season. Because like this can't carry on, right?
Yeah.
Verstappen's like not a graceful anything. Graceful winner.
Yeah, he's not a good ambassador.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, dude, just like if you're threatening to resign, then resign. Just stop being so sour. You know, and then you got guys like Daniel Ricciardo leaving, the last guy with any real personality.
Yeah.
And then you go back to guys like Schumacher, like that was a thing, man.
Yeah, it was a thing.
That was a thing. Well, I remember we were also like super bored of Ferrari.
Oh yeah, no. It did get to a stage, but no, it's good. It's good. Going back to Formula One, it's good what McLaren are doing now. It's good. I mean, it's fresh blood, and
it keeps it unpredictable.
Also,
you think he's going to pull it off, Lando Norris?
He's got him, man. Oh, but the British will never shut up if he does.
Oh, that's fine, man. That's fine. I'm just done with Verstappen because, firstly, you got the major benefit of like you're a good driver, but your car is untouchable,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Your car's untouchable.
Yeah.
Stop being a dick about it.
Honestly, bro. We're not here for you alone. Yeah. We're not here for you alone. And it just, for me, he comes across as whiny, eh?
Yeah, that's it.
It's like it's like he's seven. Like, bro, get on with it.
Yeah.
And then you have Christian Horner who backs him up and you're just like, oh my God, bro. Mm. Where does it end? But man, it's at least he's making like public appearances, but the family's still saying that like, you know, yeah, he's going to, there's been advancements in medical science and all that stuff. But if you're in a coma for 6 months, you are not the same, bro.
You know what the crazy thing is that what I always think about is, yes, he made a lot of money. No doubt about it, he made a lot of money.
Mm.
But comparatively to today's, you know, his care can't be cheap.
Not at all.
Who funds it? Unless like he really made that much money.
He made bank. He made like 800 million in years.
Okay. All right.
He's proper.
So he can get the care. He can.
Yeah.
Yeah. And listen, I'm sure. Yeah, listen, sad story. Terrible story. So anyway, this working title, FC, we're wrapping it up. What are you looking forward to in the sports this weekend?
What's actually going on?
Look, the biggest thing in football, obviously, Manchester United, Villa, yeah. Manchester United.
Rugby's done.
Rugby's done for a while, yeah, Springboks until they go to Europe.
There's URC.
So, you know what the thing with watching United now is, like, kind of every Sunday, Saturday is like watching Big Brother to see who gets voted out.
Oh, yes, yeah. Just in the end, like, okay, so cool.
You know he's going to go eventually.
Yeah.
You just, will this be the week?
Yeah.
And then that's why we tune in.
Yeah, because
that's the only interesting thing about United right now.
I don't know, yeah. There's also a Women's World Cup starting. We're playing West Indies today.
Yep.
T20. And the Proteas are playing. But it's not like, but for me, like, you know, if cricket's not like, if it's not the Ashes or we have a major test series, like, now cricket for me is just like. Mm,
yeah. I got to give it to the guys who market cricket. There is so much cricket going on, and for them to try to figure out how to make each little permutation interesting, I got to give it to people who, that is elite level marketing to try to, like, keep us up to date first.
Oh, yes. Breaking news. SA Rugby to vote on private equity investment.
About goddamn time. About time.
Listen, you think so?
I've had this diatribe about the Springboks being extremely undervalued, of about sleepwalking into our deals for Gears while the All Blacks are eating our lunch with massive private equity investments, way better deals from Adidas than we got from Nike, way better content distribution, TV deals than what we have. So the only way you stay on top is with a shitload of money. Yesterday we were watching TV or an ad pops up, Hollywood Bets, and there's Eben Etzebeth in it. And my wife goes, I wonder how much they paid him to be in it. I was like, probably not that much. Probably not that much because it's centralized contracts, I assume.
Yeah.
And sorry, we can't negotiate shit. Mm-hmm. So they probably are in equity deals, but they're going to get 15 Rand out of it. Don't trust them.
Bro, yeah, anyway.
Don't trust them. Don't trust them. You know, you got to make bank. Get that money. I see the NFL also took private equity in. You have to, but listen, it's interesting. Very interesting because they held out. They were the last major sport to hold out.
Yeah.
And now they've opened those doors. There's Texas billionaires.
Oh.
You know, you can't compete with sovereign states.
Sovereign states, exactly.
You cannot compete with it. This is working title FC. I think we like sports.
We love it. It's good. No, it's real entertainment.